Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first Japan Baseball Weekly Live Cuts. It's for August 24th. It's the first Live Cuts event. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me here is Jim Allen. And in the role of moderator, is Michael Westbay. How are you doing this morning, guys? Jim?
Well, I'm good, as usual. Michael, you look fit and healthy.
Thank you, and I'm looking forward to listening in and participating to some degree.
And we apologize for the delay. I think we had some computer problems on all ends, but we apologize for the delay.
Yeah, this is a multiple choice answer.
Yeah, and I kind of shut myself out of the live thing to start with, so I had to set up a new one. So hopefully next time we'll go a little smoother.
I'm glad you're here, Michael, because John always stumps me with his trivia questions. Now I can, you know, I can go and say, you know, call a friend.
Call a friend. Call a friend. That's going to help you.
You might.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. And again, we apologize for the delay. On this week's show, we're going to discuss Junichi Tozawa and his lack of a role with the national team. We're going to take a quick look at the Central League pennant race, and we got so much more, so let's get started. All right. First of all, I had the trivia question for me to Jim and to Michael, so you're allowed to participate in this. Now, Ryosuke Kikuchi of the Hiroshima Carp hit in 21 straight games earlier this season, and then he followed that up by becoming just the third player since 1950 to have another streak of 20-plus games in a row where he got a hit. So we all know that Joe DiMaggio has the major league record of 56 consecutive games with a hit. So who holds the record in NPB and how many games?
You know.
Anyone? Anyone? I got crickets here.
That's mean because I was looking at that the night that his streak stopped, which would have been two nights ago.
It's not mean.
It is mean. I don't remember.
And the fact that you were looking it up makes me know that it was not mean. It lets me know that it was not mean. It's you who forgot it after you looked it up. Michael?
Well, I didn't even look it up because I was looking to see how close he was to the top, and when I saw he wasn't even close, I didn't even look.
That's the thing.
I have absolutely no idea myself. I'm not a trivia person.
I could look it up in 30 seconds if I turned around, but that would be cheating.
No, you don't have that much time. Okay.
Who has the record?
There are the crickets. Who has the record in Japan? Yeah.
I'm going to say... I'm going to say Harimoto.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you the answer. In the interest of time, we don't want to keep everybody waiting. It's the Hiroshima Carps' Yoshihiko Takahashi.
Oh, shit.
And he hit in 33 straight games in 1979. It's actually kind of recent. It's not as old as the MLB record. So, my follow-up question to that is, I do have another trivia question because we have two people. We have three on the show, so I do have another. But my follow-up idea to that is that what's the number for you that gets you following a hitting streak? Because since the number is only 33 and we got Kikuchi going to get into 22, and that's more than halfway. And I would think once you get more than halfway, we should start looking at guys, and it should be in the news all the time, and we should see it on TBS and all the site. And nobody really gets interested, it seems, until a guy gets to about 25, which I think Matt Merton did 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. He got into the late 20s. But what's the number for you where you start to pay attention? Obviously, it's not 21 or 22 because that's where Kikuchi was, and you started to look it up, but you never finished.
No, I looked it up and I saw he wasn't close. So that was the point at which I noticed it.
I see. So, yeah, was that 22 then that you noticed it? Or
I'm going to say if I see a number over 20.
Over 20? Michael, what would make you pay attention?
I would probably go with when it's on the front page of Nikon Sports.
Which could depend on how much real news there is that day.
Yes, it could. That's very true.
Or who's getting married.
Right. Well, I'll give you the Family Feud clap on that one and say, good answer. All right. My follow-up or my next trivia question is a quick one because it came up the other day. In the Central League, what is the single season record for walk-off wins since 1950?
Oh, I did see that in Nikon Sports a couple days ago.
Yes.
Now, why did you see it in Nikon Sports, let me ask?
Because it came up, I think, with the Giants.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see here.
I hear paper shuffling. I don't want you shuffling through papers.
No pushing papers around.
That's right.
I wouldn't have a clue.
I remember it was just a few more than... Who was it?
Tick, tick.
Memory is failing me completely.
Tick, tick, tick. Okay, it was in 1967, the Chunichi Dragons. In 2002, I think it was it wasn't the Make Miracle Giants, but something like that. Those teams each had 14 walk-off wins.
Wow.
And
okay.
The Giants had... Whoa.
Oh, very good.
But I'm pumped. The Giants have 7 at the moment, and I think that's why they came up. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for playing trivia. Good job, both of you guys.
Do we get a home game?
I know you get some lovely parting gifts at the desk there.
Okay. I'll take popcorn.
All right. So I wanted to talk about Junichi Tozawa, he's not a great reliever, but he's a very, very effective reliever. He's doing great. He actually was doing better last year, but he's doing really well this year for the Boston Red Sox. And he's the corporate leaguer who effectively snubbed MPB and went to the majors and has since been an outcast or somewhat of a black sheep in the family of Japanese baseball players. And we learned that he's not going to be considered for the national team again. And Jim, you did a recent story and talked about this, and I wanted to delve into the topic a little bit deeper. Is this, I don't want to lead the witness like I usually do, but what were your feelings when you were doing the story and what was the impetus for the story?
Well, you know, I was pretty hot about it 2 years ago. When Koji Yamamoto, the Japan manager for the WBC, came out and said, "We've asked every Japanese major leaguer who has a contract, and we've also asked Munenori Kawasaki to join the team. So those 10. The only problem was the number was 11." And the name Junichi Tozawa never came up. None of the coaches ever heard about him. I shouldn't say none. I spoke to two coaches, Masataka Nashida and Tsuyoshi Yoda. They both said, when we were discussing who should be on the team, his name was never mentioned by Yamamoto. Who made the decision?
Well, did you ask them why they didn't bring the name up? They were at the meeting.
Well, no, they gave him a list, apparently, and I don't understand. I can't explain the dynamics of the meeting. I can't imagine what they were.
Right. I mean, I would want to know why they didn't bring it up either if they say, hey, there's a name left out this list.
I was curious why none of the reporters asked.
Yeah.
But I can't say that, but everybody I talked to who was at the press conference when they discussed this issue said, nobody asked.
Mm.
And apparently everybody knew. It was one of those Japanese things where, you know, he got the real silent treatment. So anyway, I was told a year and a half ago, I was told actually before the WBC that Sadaharu Oh and Yamamoto had decided to omit Tozawa from the team. So I asked, I spoke to Oh last Tuesday in Fukuoka.
Right.
In an interview with Kyoto News,
get to see the story. Thank you for posting the link.
Well, yeah. And the interview story is going to be in the Monday Japan Times.
Okay.
So look out for that. And Oh said he had nothing to do with it.
Really?
He said, I wasn't in a position to choose. I believe it was, and he said, I don't think it was Yamamoto. I think it was Commissioner Kato and some others.
Huh.
And I'll tell you that Commissioner Kato was the one who told me that he thought it was Oh and Yamamoto. So Anyway, so moving along, Bo's argument was the Japanese national team is subordinate to NPB, and therefore, if you've never been involved in NPB, you can't be a member, which was, it was a kind of shaky argument, but I don't argue too much with Mr. O.
No, I wouldn't either.
We did argue a little bit, but not you know, yeah. It wasn't like we are here. I wasn't like jumping up and down and shouting. So basically he said, Tozawa made his own bed. He was the one who chose to ignore us. So why should we select him? And of course, it almost makes it sound like Tozawa broke a rule. But he didn't break a rule. He was an amateur. He had a free choice, like everybody has. But when he made a choice they didn't like, they were upset about it. So, okay, anyway, so the following day, I asked Hiroki Kokubo, the manager of the national team.
Right.
He said, have you considered Tozawa for the Japan team? And he said, I cannot choose him for the national team. I said, you don't have that right? He said, no. It's the Yaku Kai, the baseball community, that has decided. And they are firm in they're firm about this. So I don't know who is the Yaku Kai that is making this decision. I need to, ask a little further, but my guess is it's the teams who were upset about Tozawa going to the majors, and now they want to punish him.
Right. And we know that, 3 or 4 years ago, they created this Tozawa rule, effectively, in that a player who starts his career or basically shuns MPB and goes directly to the States has to sit out, 2 or 3 years? Two years?
Right, after they finish playing overseas.
When they're finished playing overseas.
3 years of their career. Although they never made the rule. They suggested the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And O sounded like it's the rules that he can't be selected, but there ain't no rule that he can't be selected other than the one, the secret memo of NPB or something.
Right.
One of those unwritten rules.
Something. And I know people within the Samurai Japan project. And so I do need to ask them. Well, they haven't answered my question on this, so I need to.
Yeah, well, this begs the question kind of, I think, if you look at Shohei Ohtani as an example, because he said he asked teams not to draft him, and he said, hey, I'm going to the States directly. I'm going to play in the major leagues one day. And he had his plan out. Now, had he been able to successfully do that, do you think that they would be treating him the same way?
Right.
Even if he were a minor league guy on the maybe 2A or maybe single A ball club somewhere, would he be getting the same treatment?
Yeah, absolutely, I think.
Do you think he would?
I think it would. And the interesting thing was that O said, the logic, or I should say the illogic, it's obviously, he said, to his credit, he said, hopefully someday it'll be the way you think it should be. And the teams will pick players based on who's the best player.
Yeah.
He said, not there yet.
Not there yet.
So he said, yes, some things are more important than how good a player is. So the answer is, okay, so there was that argument. And then there was another argument in which the teams will do whatever they can to support Kokubo because they want to win. So they want to win, but they don't want to win with players like Tozawa.
Huh.
They don't want to win. I think that's the point. I think they want to draw the line in the sand with Tozawa to tell all the players, if you want to play for Japan, don't do it. Don't go. Just the way a lot of play used to be before professionals were allowed to play in the Olympics. When the Yomiuri company was still fighting the Olympics. So before they realized they wanted to be Olympic sponsors. When they were still fighting the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
In 2000 for the Sydney Olympics, and it was each Pacific League team sent a star. Yomiuri was saying, the Olympics are no place for professional baseball. That was 4 years before they had their manager, before the former Giants manager, Shigeo Nagashima, was named to coach the Olympic team.
Right, right.
And well, they were all behind it. So before that time, only amateurs could play in the Olympics.
Right.
And so some amateur stars stayed in corporate league baseball so that they could play in the Olympics.
Yes. And you don't want that.
No.
That's not good for the game. It's not good for the development of players. It's not good for anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So while, and O said, while players should aspire to go to the major leagues, they shouldn't aspire too young.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it just seems like a group of grumpy old men with more spite than sense for them not to, you know, turn things around or just change their philosophies, change their attitude, bring Tozawa on board. I mean, he's a very effective pitcher. The team could use him, especially because they keep, and we saw this last time, they keep taking starters and putting him in a relief role.
Yeah, and, I mean, Nomi, Atsushi Nomi is a terrific starter.
Right.
Was a disaster as a reliever. Hideaki Wakui, who is a good reliever. Disaster in that long relief role.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, I think this is personally would make the team better, and they should figure it out and stop being spiteful, grumpy guys who are just sitting around smoking stogies all the time. Get out and smell the real world, man. You know, this is a different time, and they don't have to worry about losing talent and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
All right. Michael?
I don't really have much to say about major leaguers.
I used to be there, too.
All right, so we're going to go to the next topic then, another seamless transition. We're going to talk about the limping Giants and the strolling Tigers. Now, to me, it seems that the Giants have struggled in every game, every night, whether they win or lose.
Right.
And the Tigers seem to be, they're winning at a really good clip, and you know, the games they win, they put some distance between themselves and their opponent, and the games they lose, they seem like they barely lose. So, I don't know. It's looking to me, I didn't think this at the beginning of the season.
I think that's a misperception.
You think so? I mean, it might just be my perception. A lot of times because I'm flipping around and I'm not concentrating on one game. But
stop changing the channel, John Gibson!
Stop zapping around, yeah. I think... when I see the games, I don't. For example, the game they played on Saturday night against the Carp, the Carp ended up winning the game and it was a close one. But that seemed to me like one of the few games where they didn't struggle. I guess probably because they played the Dragons in a three-game series recently and they really didn't have that much trouble getting past them. They scored early in every game. They got on top, and then they just kind of cruised away. Whereas the Giants just seemed to be fighting themselves and fighting everything and barely getting by. But yeah, perception?
Yeah, well, I was curious about that, and so their records in August, the Giants are 10-9, the Tigers are 10-8, the Carp are 10-8. They're essentially where they were 3 weeks ago.
The Carp are?
The Carp and the Tigers have identical records in August.
Right, okay.
The Giants are a half game worse.
So it doesn't, like I say, it doesn't seem like they're, I mean, what do they have, a game and a half lead?
Right.
It doesn't seem like they're any worse off, but it's just the way they're playing, and it looks like they're limping, and it looks like the Tigers are strolling a little bit easier. And so to me, when I look at the starting pitching, especially the rotation, the Giants are just, they're just trying to get guys out there. They're trying to get guys healthy. I think Sugano is going to come back soon. He hasn't been pitching. When they play and when they throw somebody out there, you're just not as confident. Now, when the Tigers, obviously they've got some unproven guys, but the guys who are unproven are starting to prove themselves that they can get the job done. I mean, we're talking late August and going into September now. I looked at them at the beginning of the season and I wasn't a believer, and just like you're saying, it might be perception, but I'm starting to believe that they have more than a chance than I thought. Maybe let's say, one month ago even. I didn't think they were going to be this close. And for them to be this close this late in the season, they might as well. They're 2.5 games back at the moment because they lost last night and the Giants won. So right. I still think they have a chance. I mean, win-wise, they have 59 wins. They're only one win behind the Giants. And so they, if they can make up some games in the loss column, I think they have a chance. I'm not ready to jump on board, obviously. I still see them as second or third place
team. Entire season is a record of John waiting to jump off or jump on board. You know?
I'm looking for bandwagons.
He's running alongside that bandwagon.
I'm cycling. Like, I'm cycling
not
along.
On board yet. I'm not getting on board. Come on, John, get on. No. He's running along.
No, I'm cycling. I'm cycling right next to it. I'm keeping up, and I'm weighing my options. You know, I'm
like, between. Don't do it, John.
Right, I'm okay. Between the two bandwagons.
Well, what I've noticed of the Giants is that they really did well in interleague, but they've got losing records against Hiroshima, against Hanshin. And they're almost at 500 against the Bay Stars. The Giants are just limping along, barely.
They have, like I said last week, if this was based on how many runs they've scored and allowed, at the end, I would say last Saturday, the Giants would have been tied for fourth with the Swallows.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they're not going anywhere. None of these three teams. None of these three teams are going anywhere fast right now.
I think Michael's cat really likes the Tigers.
What I want to say about the Giants and Tigers is basically that they haven't really done anything different. Now, the Giants have, in August, they've not scored as well as the Tigers have, so I think that your perception of that is accurate. But in terms of, you know, that's the way it's been all year. It hasn't changed a lot. But, the last couple of games were different. The Giants did have a couple of games. They've played a lot of tight games. They've won a couple. They've lost a couple. Then the Tigers had a couple of big wins, and they had some moderate losses. So.
All right. Well, it's possible that my perceptions are off. I just got the idea that the Tigers are looking like a better team, probably because they're just playing more efficiently. That might be part of the situation.
For the record, the Tigers, although they're two games over 500, they've also been outscored in August. The Giants have also been outscored, but by more runs, although they have the best, they're only a half game back. So.
Yeah, now I didn't see a report on Chona. I've been on vacation this week, so I picked the wrong week to do a live show, but. What was the report on his knee? Because I know he went out of a game with a knee injury.
I've heard. I've been focusing on other things this week, so
okay.
I can't say that.
All right, because I know he did go out of a game with Jingu with a knee injury. So I know that something was going on. But it was just when he was getting hot. So if they lose him, that's kind of a big blow to them. They've been playing Taishi Ota a little bit more here and there. Outfield positions, and I really like the kid, but I think he's kind of clueless at the plate. I've come to that. I mean, I think he's just up there looking for fastballs, and he'll swing at them wherever they are. And anything that looks like a fastball, he'll take a swing at. So,
he hasn't been fortunate enough to play in many of the Giants games that I've watched, so I can't really say much about Ota. I mean, I've seen him play. You know, I saw him play over the last couple of years, and obviously Nakai, who's in that same group of young players coming up.
Right.
As vastly more impressive.
Yeah. Michael, did you get a hold of those guys?
I just found their mail address and inviting now.
Okay. All right. okay. Yeah. So thank you for that. Yeah. So I hope they can get, I mean, I shouldn't say hope, because it's more interesting when the Giants are playing well and people are beating them than when they're playing poorly and people are beating them. And
that's, people ask me, which team do you want to, which player are you rooting for? I want in every at bat, unless I have a rooting interest in that team, it's winning. In every at bat, I want to see good pitches and good swings.
Well, that's not possible.
sure, it can happen all the time. I mean, if a guy gets a hit, the ideal thing is he hits a tough pitch for if he hits a mistake, he puts a good swing on it and doesn't miss it, and the pitcher doesn't make mistakes. Right. So, I mean, that's what I want to see, is everybody doing well and competing at the highest level. And so, you know, you don't want to see seasons where teams like Swallows this year are decimated by injuries, and you don't want to see the Giants playing without some of their best players.
Well, here's the other thing then. Do you see a late run possibly in the Hiroshima Carp? Because I really like what their rotation is doing.
Oh, sure. Sure.
You see it happening? I mean, I would hate to see them drop out of playoff contention here, or that third place spot at least. But I think they're better than a third place team. And I'm starting to think, I know you said that it's in the past that you're not real high on Kenjiro Nomura, the skipper, but I'm starting to...
Yeah, he occasionally still does a few things that surprise me, but they play well. I mean, they play well as a team, so, you know, you can't... I don't think the team thinks... You know, if the team thought that Nomura can't manage, if the team thought he was, you know, an albatross around their necks, to use an odd reference, then they wouldn't win. But I don't think anybody thinks that. I think, yeah, he...
They wouldn't win, or they would get rid of him.
No, the team wouldn't win. I mean, the players would think we don't have a chance to win. They wouldn't try as hard as they, you know, they wouldn't go all out to win if they thought the manager was losing games for them.
Well, here's my thing is that I think they have a lot of talent. I think if you look, I mean, we're going to look back 10 years from now, and we're going to see that some of the guys who are on this team have developed into very consistent players and very productive players in NPB. And I think if you put that kind of talent in the wrong hands and you don't, I don't think this is a third place team. I think at worst it's a second place team, and at best it's a Japan Series contending title team. And if it's in the wrong hands, if the man in charge is not running it the right way, I wouldn't hesitate in the off season. If they finish third place, or God forbid they fall out of the playoff spot, I'd get rid of him.
Well, I think that's the Carp owners basically said that the next year is a blank slate for Mr. Nomura. I should say the Carp owner, who is the head of the Mazda Motor Corporation. He said the next year is a blank slate. They do have to win, and I absolutely agree with you. So, you know, put this date on your calendar.
All right. All right. Michael, have we gotten our followers in there yet?
Yes, we've got NPB card guy. Want to say hi?
How you doing, Dave? We apologize for the snafus and the delays and all that stuff. It's good to see you. Nice cap.
No problem. You guys.
Nice cap. I got my Tony Blanco.
Like it.
Got my
what is it? This is a Dragons conspiracy.
All right, so we're still waiting for Claudio then.
Yeah, I've sent him a second invite to make sure that I spelled his email address right.
All right, so you want to move along to another seamless transition into the Tomoya Mori of Seibu. This is a rookie, 19 years old, a little pint-sized power pack guy who's hit a few home runs, and he hit the three, starting with his first home run of his career. He hit home runs in consecutive nights, two nights after that. So he hit three games, three home runs, and he was the first rookie straight out of high school to hit home runs in three straight games, starting his career with his first home run. And the last one was a really dramatic one that a score tying solo blast in the 10th inning, and that was on August 16th against the Nippon Ham Fighters, and that game finished in an 8-8 draw. But the thing I noticed in that game was... And it really caught my attention because Ginjiro Sumitani, who's been he's the incumbent, he's the starting catcher, he's been there for, I think this is the eighth season or so. Right. His reaction, he sat at the top of the dugout and he gave the golf clap. And it was sort of a controlled, enthusiastic golf clap. And I know he wanted to jump up and cheer, but he just didn't really seem to know what to do. And I'm just wondering if you got the idea that he saw that his days were numbered as a starting catcher, perhaps maybe this season, especially with a team that's struggling and is not in playoff position. I'm just wondering if you got the same idea, or you thinking the same impression that maybe his days are numbered and that they're going to turn the backstop over to this kid.
Well, as soon as Cebu finds a guy who can catch and hit, yeah, Sumitani is probably going to get traded.
Do you think he's trade-worthy? Because he's a career 205 hitter or something?
Yeah, but you have to understand, any time a catcher is established, he suddenly becomes good.
Oh, because he's got some years behind him.
In the baseball community.
You put some years behind a guy, and so now he's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, there'll be somebody who'll want him as a backup, and then, of course, he'll end up as, if he's lucky, he'll end up like Kohei Oda, just playing a long time and actually learning to catch.
Oda, he's a funny guy. What's that?
So, I don't think Sumitani's a particularly good player. They keep trying to push him forward, you know, by naming him to the national team and inspiring him to do better. But, you know, he kind of peaked when he hit 27, and he hasn't really gone anywhere. I don't see any future for him.
Yeah, I mean, his best season, and I wrote a blog post about this the other day, his best season he hit 220, and that was 2009.
That was when there was a lively ball.
I don't even think that the ball matters, because he hasn't hit with the good ball or the bad ball, if you want to call it that. He's a dead ball hitter. I mean,
it's the bat that's dead. It's not the ball.
Blame the bat, then. Hey. So you see, that's one of my question was going to be, what's his future? I mean, he's only 27. We've seen these old catchers get run into the ground. So you see his future as a guy like Kohei Oda, who's just hangs around as the number two, number three catcher on a team, goes up and down. He elevators from the minor league to the farm, plays when guys get hurt. But is it with the Lions? I mean, do they really need to keep a guy around like that?
I don't think so. I think because he'll have more value for a team that has no catcher than a team that, you know, who thinks, oh, well, actually, he was a starter for the Lions. He could be a starter for us. So, yeah, and then until they actually get him on the team, and he goes, oh, I guess that's why he was available. But I would think he might join another team as a free agent. He might be the next Takeshi Hidaka, who actually could get a little bit. But, you know, most of these free agents, if he's lucky, he's a, Tsuruoka?
Tsuruoka, yeah.
Tsuruoka, he's that guy who actually learns to catch a bit.
Yeah. Well, my concern is Morty. What kind of catcher is he? I really haven't seen him behind the plate that much. The good thing is I've seen him actually catch the ball, so that's a start. And of course, you've talked about it in the past. These pitchers have to develop a relationship with the guys, learn to trust them, learn to trust that they know what they're doing. And he's a young kid. I don't know that he can take over tomorrow or next year, but if he keeps hitting home runs, they're going to throw him out there.
One would think, but then Cebu's not like normal.
Okay. All right, I just got a note from Claudio, and he said he's going to have to withdraw because he's having all sorts of technical difficulties. So it's unfortunate, but that happens. That happens. We had technical difficulties to start, so we know it happens. So we appreciate him trying to come on and join us, and we'll talk. We'll try it again with the
second. Well, if you have a question or something, you could ask it now and have it answered.
Well, hang on.
I'm hanging.
Yeah, I'll let him if he has a question, I'll get it on here. So, I don't know that Morty is ready to catch full time, but if he's going to hit decently, I think, you know, I thought about the other options and making him a DH, and I don't think they can do that because Okawari-kun hasn't played, Takeya Nakamura hasn't been playing a lot, he hasn't played enough, and even then, he's got 24 home runs, he's second in the PL right behind Peña and right tied with Mejia, so they're right there together. So I can just see Morty playing catcher next year. If he gets his average up to 250 and he catches anything at all, I think they're going to play him. So I'd like to see that happen. All right.
Well, I think so. I think he's going to get a chance to play, and then run that gauntlet that young catchers have to go through. And depending on, you know, how he passes the defensive test, that'll decide everything.
Okay.
If he doesn't, then basically they'll try to look for another position for him.
All right. So now, Michael, this next topic, it's the increase in hits, and I think you should post this question to Jim, because you mentioned something about his past statements where stadiums seem to increase in home runs, and that's fine because we understand that because of the heat. But explain your question there for him.
Yeah, well, essentially, Jim has been going on for the past few years on the podcast about how the heat in August really increases the number of home runs. But what I've really noticed lately is, you know, who was it? Yakult went on a huge hitting streak where they had double-digit hits for 14 or so games in a row. And then Hiroshima did just about the same thing.
They matched it at 10, yeah.
So are hits something that
something
are,
that you should do
like
to a cat?
Home runs and that they're more in August?
Hits are something you should do to the cat when it jumps on your arm.
We're going to have to report you for the people for the ethical treatment of animals there, Mr. Gibson.
She just uses me as a bridge.
I'll
bridge up to the top of the TV.
Well, then I'll use you as a bridge to the answer.
We'll call you Michael Bridgeway then instead of
Okay.
Nonetheless.
Well, I was curious about this, so I did have a look, and I looked this morning and compared 2000. Now, one of the things is when you compare the hits or you compare anything, you try to look for the same period of time.
Right.
And also this year, one of the issues was they had NPB was using dry balls.
Right. That was at the very beginning of the season.
Right.
We had a few months of gradually getting warmer.
Right.
Up to this point.
Right. So I looked in from June because I know that all the balls were switched out from the middle of May.
They said.
Okay, they said.
Thank you. We need a qualifier there.
What is this Fox Mulder over here? Okay.
Allegedly.
The truth is out there, John. Keep looking. Okay, so from June until August 21st last year, which is they didn't play on August 22nd, and I don't have the data yet in my database for August 23rd yet.
One day won't matter.
Yeah, one day won't matter. And basically, home runs are up about 2%, which sounds like the weather to me. Hits are up about the same. And do they affect hits? Sure they do. Because it affects how well the ball travels and how fast it travels. I would think it also affects how much energy the pitchers are required when they're out on the mound. The hotter it is, the more energy they're going to have to expend. That's just my thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why?
I figured maybe pitchers would get a little more tired as the heat goes on. But
the
major difference between hits and home runs is home runs carry and fielders aren't going to be able to do anything about them. Whereas hits are still balls in play. And
yes,
does the defense get fatigued more during the summer months?
Probably, which I want to digress a little bit. One of the comments I wanted to make about the Tigers going 10-8 so far in August is very relevant, unless you're a former editor of the Daily Yomiuri. a former chief editor of the Daily Yomiuri. That the Tigers traditionally, and you can basically look at any span of 10 years over the last 20 since 1972. Mm-hmm. The Tigers have a very poor record in August.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to play on the road a lot. And they have to play now at Kyocera Dome. In the past, they played at Nishinomiya Stadium and other stadiums around the Kansai area for their home games. But they're
taking the road trip to the north and such.
Sure. And they play on the road a lot. So the 10-8 record is a very good record for the Tigers. And I think, as John said, when you're traveling around a lot and moving and it's hot and so on and so forth, 10-8 sounds like a winning team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one thing. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, to get back to what Michael said, yes. Now, I did find that balls in play were quite a bit higher from June till now than they were from the mm-hmm. same period last year. And okay. the odd one is that triples are up like 20 or 30%.
All right, it's,
that is interesting.
Well, one thing—I mean, it doesn't sound like you've answered the question, but the thing that I've talked
to—I can't answer the question because I don't know the answer.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, here's what I talked to. I mean, I talked to a couple of players about this in the past, and the one thing that they said is the fielders say, because I asked them about it. I said, look, how come you guys say this is such a hitter's park when they go to Jingu or when they go to Yokohama? And he said, look, it's the artificial turf. When the turf is going to help a ball get scoot past the fielder, that's going to increase the number of hits. Sure. And I don't know. This is what they told me, is when it gets warm, the ball seems to move a little bit faster.
I
don't know if that's true. I don't know if I believe it. Yeah, and so
they'll have more energy coming off the bat,
and so that might explain some balls jumping through some holes that they don't normally do when it's cold. But mm-hmm. I still don't think that has to do a lot with the line drives, and the line drives maybe they're carrying a little bit better, or maybe the line drives are just, like you said, coming off the bat a little bit faster in the heat, and so that's why. You know, there might be an increase in extra base hits, but it's not so much how hard you hit it all the time. It's where too. And mm-hmm. I don't see the park being that much of a factor in adding hits if you hit the ball right at somebody, they're going to catch it.
Mm.
You know, no matter how hard they hit it, but 9 times out of 10, even if you get a hard line drive, if it's an atom ball, they're going to make a play on it, but if you can...
Yeah, provided it's not Takahiro Okada or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the... Okay, you said that balls in play are up.
No, the batting average on balls in play is up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, batting average on balls in play is also up, or just balls in play in general are up?
No, I won't say... I would say balls in play are, because there's fewer walks and strikeouts. Like 3% fewer walks, 3% fewer strikeouts. So yeah, balls in play are up, but the hits in balls in play, I don't want to bring up that file right now to check. Mm-hmm. But,
all right.
Yeah, I was quite surprised that the average on balls in play is I'm going to say from memory, it was 307 last year during that period. Mm-hmm. We're talking about June till this point. And it's 311 or 312 this year,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's a jump, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
All right. Now, this topic I don't think you had on your sheet, Michael. We added it, and this is about the Cuban part-timers is what I'm going to call them, because
It
is the Cuban part-timers. But
bueno.
I don't want to lump Mitchell Abreu into this category, because I think he's been a full-time guy basically, but he hasn't been someone who's joined the club mid-season. But we've got these Cuban players, many of them who came over mid-season, and now we've got Abreu, who has a back issue, and we interviewed him in a couple episodes ago, and now his contract was basically cut by the Nippon Ham Fighters, and he's gone. And Alberto Despaigne with the Lotte Marines is injured. I just look at these guys as part-time guys, and they're here for a summer job. And they're here to try to stay in shape and have fun and get paid doing it. But you look around at the Japanese players, and they're taking each game, some of these guys, like it's the last game of their careers, and it's life and death for them. And I'm not sure I'm liking what I'm seeing in terms of these guys coming over. And obviously, like I said, I don't want to throw Mitchell Abreu into that, because he's been playing here full time. But some of the other players, I'm just not sure. Even I don't want to question the effort per se. I just want to question their desire and the heart, because I'm not seeing that in their play. They strike out, or they make outs, or they make errors, and they just say, hey, let's get them next time. Whereas the Japanese players are like, you know, this is the end of the world. So what's your opinion on these guys, or what's your opinion about my statement?
I'm trying to guess where you're not questioning your effort, but you are questioning their heart and desire.
Well, I mean, you can go hard, and you can give 100% to the actual thing that you're doing. But if your heart's not in it, your motivation isn't there, your heart's not in it, I mean...
Okay, so they're not as effective as they could be if they were more motivated.
I mean, I'm just not seeing
enough. I haven't seen any lack of motivation myself. Well, they all seem to want to win. They all seem to want to hit the ball.
I don't see anybody playing like, occasionally we'll get players who feel like the game is not big enough for them. Well, and don't want to, who lack attention on the field. They look like they're not prepared. They want to hit, or they want to, they have their a separate agenda from the team's winning.
I haven't
seen that either, but I don't know, and I can't guess about the Cubans. My thinking is, and John, you mentioned this in the note to me, that look, the Cuban league goes until the end of February, the beginning of March. Then they come over to Japan, and then they're going to have to go back and, the Cuban league starts in November, although I've been told that they're going to get a month off between the end of the Japanese season.
Mm-hmm.
And then what will happen is they'll go into the second stage of the Cuban season, where they take all the good teams and they take half of the best half of the teams and put them into a championship division. And then they take the teams that don't have players, the teams which don't make the cut, they have like a little draft, a second half draft. So the stars of the teams that don't make the cut go on to the teams that do make the cut. So these guys essentially, when they get back, by the time they're ready to play, they'll probably want to be drafted onto the championship contenders. But, Gurriel, you didn't mention, is out with a rib cage. He has an oblique strain, according to Freddy Cepeda of the Giants,
mm-hmm.
who's still okay. But his playing time's been very sporadic. And that may be Abreu told us that it was the turf, which he wasn't familiar with. And he's very big, and Despeña is a very large player.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
And he has essentially no experience playing on turf more than like an international tournament where he might play six games.
Right.
And Abreu said it started hurting him in the middle of last season and it just never got better. And he the rest at the end of the year helped. But then as soon as he started back playing again in spring, he went through spring training and he went out again. So my guess is, this is going to be a real problem. If I'm Cuba and I see Cepeda is a little on the older side, but if I see the Spain and Gurriel, who are, they're also, I mean, none of them are spring chickens, but they're still international stars.
Right.
Going to Japan and getting hurt. I'm like, okay, let's rethink this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, maybe my explanation would be better if I said it's the difference between a guy really, really hustling and a guy playing like his hair's on fire. I mean, the guy hustling, you can see that he's hustling, but the other guy, you really know that he's trying to win. And the thing that I'm looking at is and maybe Michael can speak to this because I've seen with the Bay Stars earlier when Udieski Gurriel was playing, he was touted as this really good third baseman, and so I expected him to be really sharp at third. And he made a number of errors that just seemed to me that they were lackadaisical. They weren't errors of him trying to make a play and trying to do too much. They were just errors of him spacing out. And maybe Michael can speak to that because he saw more.
Yeah, well, he's really a second baseman. So putting him over at the hot corner, he's a lot closer to the ball coming off the bat. It takes much quicker reaction speed to play third very well.
Right.
And of course there is the artificial turf where the ball bounces much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of give him a little bit of leeway in that he's playing a different position than he normally does. He's
right.
closer. And he's on artificial turf, which he's not used to. So I'd rather see even Naughty there.
Yeah, but, I'd rather see Valderis there because he's effectively like a Gold Glove third baseman. Yeah,
he is. So, yeah, but I think that he, Guriel. Guriel. I don't see him playing first base either, so.
Well, don't see him playing anywhere right now.
Yeah, I don't see the guy. I don't see him. I don't hear about him. I don't even know when he's coming back. We don't get any information.
His hit in Nigun game a day or two ago. He's got two hits
in
Nigun.
Yeah, okay.
So
then he's probably pretty soon.
He's just about back.
Okay.
All right. All right, let's move along and talk. We'll stay on the Bay Stars topic, actually, and talk about Daisuke Miura of the Bay Stars. And this, the 40-year-old or 41-year-old, what's up with this guy? He's having a performance spike here. Now, there's no need to drug test him, though, because we know he's not throwing any harder than he was a couple months ago. So,
well, Michael, you've been to – I mean, you're familiar with the Bay Stars minor league setup. Do they have some sort of a cryonic chamber where they freeze him? Because at the beginning of his winning streak,
I think they do have an oxygen tank.
Okay, good. I think that's like an oxygen – they keep him oxidized down there. Yokosuka, they're doing what the SoftBank Hawks are doing with some of their pitchers.
Yeah. Well, let me give the stats here real quick because we think he's going to be the August pitcher of the month.
He's going to have to keep going. He's only got two wins, as we know. Shohei Ohtani, that's not enough.
Oh no, he's got three wins now. He's got three wins.
I think he had three wins. Yeah.
He's got three wins. So 23 innings. He's thrown 23 innings. He's allowed one run, and it was earned, and his ERA is 0.39 in August. So I think he's well on his way.
Yeah, as long as you get that third win, doesn't matter. You know, you could pitch 12 inning shutouts. You don't get that third win, baby. Out the door. Thanks for playing.
Yeah, well, he threw a shutout a couple days ago, and
over seven innings,
amazing.
I think it was. Yeah, seven innings. He threw shutout ball for seven innings,
and then
they took him out. I don't think we can squeeze any more water out of this rock.
Wow.
So yeah,
fossil.
Say that the SoftBank's doing this, and I spoke to when I went down on Tuesday to Fukuoka to talk to Sadaharu. Oh, I ran into Dennis Sarfate, and he told me right now the Hawks starting pitching is so deep in the sense they've got so many options. Basically, they're on a 10-day rotation.
Which is what I told you. I told you that.
Well, John, you know everything, but I'm dense.
I didn't say I knew everything. I said I told you that. And we know
We
know about your density.
I told you so. We'll call that the next, you know, the headline on the episode when you put it on iTunes. John tells Jim I told you so.
Well, we know about your density.
I enter the transactions daily from the newspaper. And yeah, the Hawks do have a 10-day rotation with several of their pitchers.
Are you underwater, Michael?
Yeah, he's got the feedback. You're getting feedback.
We're getting feedback or something from you. Sounds like you're underwater. All right, so yeah, you might work on that.
Anyway, I hadn't noticed. I did notice it with Otonari, and the reason that's relevant is Miura is his first three starts were separated by – first two starts in that streak were separated by 14 days. The next was by 10. And now he's actually in the rotation. They're not letting him go back to get oxygenated. So you might see a drop-off. But we'll know if he starts getting hammered.
Well, I told you guys that they were bringing guys up, and then they'd start him, and then they'd send him to the farm where they'd deactivate him. So. But anyway, getting back to Daisuke Miura, which is on topic. Right. have you seen in his pitching? The only thing that I saw is that he was using batters, their aggressiveness against them. So he was actually being a little bit aggressive with his fastball, and then he'd get them off balance, he'd get them looking for things, and then he'd hit them with off-speed pitches. I saw him throw a changeup, like straight change, right over the plate. It just floated over at about, I don't know, 80 miles an hour.
80, yeah, yeah.
And
80 kilometers per hour.
and got some, now you're getting some echo as well, Michael. And he got some guys just staring at them or taking some really half-hearted swings at them. He's outthinking batters, and he's preying on their aggressiveness. And I don't know, otherwise, I don't know how he's doing. Maybe he's following Daisuke Yamai's pattern, because Daisuke has been doing that most of the season, although it didn't work for him on Saturday. Michael, you might want to turn that off and make your adjustments and see if it
works. Disco gone.
Yeah.
Okay, what I've seen is just his command has been so good, his control has been so good. Normally, that hasn't been the case in the last few years, but I remember Daisuke Miura when he and Hiroki Kuroda were the two best pitchers in the Central League that nobody knew of.
Mm.
When they just posted these phenomenal ERAs in hitters' parts, and their teams couldn't score enough runs for them because their offenses were lousy, and everybody thought their offenses were good because they were playing in hitters' parts. So, I don't have any doubts. I think if Muir had gone to the majors 7 or 8 years ago, like Kuroda did, or 10 years ago, he would have been very successful.
All right. Well, it's good for him. I'm glad to see him doing it. The team needs it. It's the perfect time. Everybody's so close and bunched together in the Central League that if they really get their stuff together, they still have a chance to make a run. They wasted a game last night. They wasted a good pitching performance, and I think the bullpen gave up the lead and they ended up losing the game. But they're pitching better, and if they can pitch well and keep their team in the game or keep the runs to a minimum, they're going to be challenging in a lot of games, and I think they'll win more than they lose because they have a good offense.
I have a question for you, Michael. When's the last time the Bay Stars had a free agent? Now, last year they had signed Kubo from the Tigers. When's the last time they had a free agent who was any good? I mean, that's part of the pitching. I mean, they've got all these pitchers. Yamaguchi, of course, putting him into the starting rotation was a stroke of genius, because it worked.
I think Komada proved himself pretty well.
That's who I was thinking, too.
Back in the 1990s.
That's a long time ago, dude.
He was the previous Alex Ramirez for the Bay Stars. Uh-huh. They kept him around until he had 2,000 hits, and then it was... Okay, somebody, can we throw him out with a Sodai Gomi?
Wow. with the oversized garbage, huh? The whole oversized waste.
How many stickers is this guy going to cost? Can we write it off the taxes?
Yikes. All right, well.
Yeah, that was probably the last one that was really good.
I would say the only one who was really good.
Well, I'm still okay with Kubo this year.
Oh, Kubo's been good. Well, I meant before Kubo.
Oh, before Kubo, okay.
Tony Blanco last year.
Well, that's a good question because I was thinking of a guy who went through the free agency process as opposed to an unsigned player.
Hitoshi Tamura came back, and he was effective, I think, that first year he was back after coming back from the Hawks.
Well, he was traded, yeah.
Oh, okay. Not a free agent. Gotcha. All right. I don't know if you had this topic, Michael, but before we go there, Dave, did you have a question?
Yeah, a couple, actually. But first one probably is pretty short. Whatever happened with Kevin Youkilis? Did it ever officially announce that he's not coming back?
No. I haven't seen it yet. I don't know what you call a grinder up there in Sendai, and they take right-handed power-hitting infielders and put them in the grinder and spit them out because they got Euclid, and then they had Lutz, and he lasted about as long as Euclid did. And boy, I feel sorry for the guy up there now.
Nick Evans?
Nicky Evans, yeah.
Yeah.
I fear for his safety.
The only thing I remember about the last report I heard about Youkilis was that he was going to go home, he was going to get checked out, and that he was going to be out for 3 months. Now, I don't know. Probably 3 months are up. I'm looking on the roster right now, and while Lutz is off the roster, basically off the roster, Youkilis is still on the roster. So, Lutz is not off the roster, but he's I think he was deactivated and I know that he
maybe they're saving him for the postseason.
So yeah, so I haven't heard, but I heard it was a 3-month deal that Euclid was going to be out for, and then we just haven't heard anything. And they didn't expect him to come back. That's why they went out and got Lutz, and that's why they went out and got Evans.
Right. It's too late to get somebody now. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
The other question I had was actually for you, Jim. If I understood what John said a couple weeks ago, you know Toshihara Ueda, I think is the guy's name?
Toshihara Ueda, yeah.
Yeah, the old Braves manager.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, manager. Have you ever asked him about that argument he had with the umpire in the 78 series?
I knew. As soon as you said Toshihara Ueda, I knew this question was coming, and the answer is no, because I always seem to be on a different subject with him. But, yeah, he's infamous in that respect. I love him. He's the greatest guy. But he just got himself full of righteous indignation at a blown call and pulled his team off the field in the 1978 Japan Series.
Did the umps actually blow the call? I went looking on YouTube a couple years ago to find decent replays of it, and I couldn't see anything that was conclusive.
Okay, well that's apparently it must have been pretty bad if he's going to come out and pull the team off the field. Now, that's just sort of in retrospect because it's something that people don't do.
Yeah.
You don't do that on a call. You don't make a big deal about a call that isn't close, and you don't pull your team off the field. Actually, the rule, there's a rule now in the Pacific League, and it wasn't in the Central League. In fact, I think Hiromitsu Ochai pulled his team off the field in the game.
Yeah, I saw that. I remember that.
Yeah. And if you do that in the Pacific League, it's a forfeit.
And oh, wow.
It's a forfeit because of Toshihara Ueda. So, no, I don't know. I'm sorry. I wish I knew. Next time I see him, I will try to remember to ask him. I'll try to remember to have a photograph taken with him, too. I was asked to take a photograph of me, of myself with Mr. O the other day, and I forgot, which caused great consternation.
Get a photograph of him arguing with you?
No. No, we'd be sitting there smiling, you know. We're both wearing suits and looking dapper.
All right, one last thing before we go. Now, the fans spoke out about Interleague, and I don't know if you guys saw this article, but I saw that there was a survey that was taken, and according to the survey, 57% of fans say that 24 games in Interleague is the perfect number. And
wow.
there was a pie chart, and it said about 24% said the number should be increased, that 24 mm-hmm. were not enough games. And then only 19% said it should be decreased, and I imagine those were Giants fans. And
what do you take out of that, John?
I'm surprised. For me, 24 was perfect, and I thought I was just being selfish and that I was just thinking about me and what I want. Because usually I'm thinking about me.
That's because you are selfish.
That's because usually I'm thinking about me and what I want. I'm glad that I'm in the majority, and I'm glad that the majority wants 24 games at least. I'm not sure about
more.
I don't know about more. And I thought about it, and when I went back and looked at the 36 game schedule that we had before, it was good, but it drags on. And
I like 3-3, but I want it spread out throughout the season. That's it.
Okay, Michael, we've heard Michael's suggestion.
And you know what Michael's suggestion is? That makes sense because, for example, if you're a team and you let's say you're the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters and you go all the way to Hiroshima and you play a 3-game series, maybe if you go from there to Fukuoka, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then from there to Osaka, and then go home. And then you've got 9 games.
Exactly.
You've got 9 games, and then you go home and you play. That makes more sense than traveling. You could reduce their travel. And it would help.
Logistically, it's a lot better to do.
Mm.
Yeah, I wouldn't. But the thing is if you drag out the Interleague like the U.S. does now, it doesn't make it a unique thing, a unique time period, a special time where everybody's playing Interleague. It just drags it out. And so yeah, we kind of watch it, you know, it's something that's on the back burner and it's not something that's in the forefront. We don't care who wins. So again, if they eliminate this interleague session championship, this mold right. that they have, this format that they have, if they eliminate that, I'd be fine with it. If not,
well, see, the problem with that is the reason they have all the interleague games together is because they have corporate sponsorship.
Right.
And well, wouldn't the corporate sponsorship like to have their name out there all season long? Have just
that's an interesting one, but they also like to have it, you know, the championship and the whole thing. And if it's spread out, nobody's going to care about the interleague championship, you know, when it's decided on the last day of the season in November and everybody's in December. When do they end the season now? January? In October.
It ends January 31st, and then they report to camp the next day.
That's mean.
Well, the Bay Stars may. They've got, 14 games in a row now, and they're talking about possibly playing a doubleheader with all the rainouts they have to make up because they won't play a stupid game on a blank Monday.
I know. Is that blank expletive deleted?
Oh no, that's a blank in the schedule.
That's beep in CyberTalk.
I can see how it could be misinterpreted that way.
Okay, so no blankety blanks from
no.
And as I mentioned last week, one of the interesting comments I heard was from Toshihara Shimada saying, excuse me, Toshimasa Shimada. So thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dave. That's your fault. Toshimasa Shimada, the fighter, saying, why are we arguing about this? Don't we have bigger things to talk about than whether we're going to play 144 or 143 games, which has consumed the discussion for 6 months. Now,
That was a great quote. I'd like to see that spread out more.
Oh, interesting. Well, I like that idea, actually. It hadn't occurred to me, so I like that. But I asked O about that, and essentially I was trying to ask him, do you think we should be talking about bigger issues? And he said, he kind of went off on a tangent. It happens sometimes with my Japanese, isn't all like great. And he went off on a tangent, and this is not in the interview story tomorrow in the Japan Times.
Mm-hmm.
He said, do you understand about Hone and Tatemai, which is the Japanese linguistic expression for actually speaking your mind as opposed to saying what's good for everybody to hear, but it's not really the truth?
Uh-huh.
He said the whole discussion about interleague, and this is something that, oddly enough, it used to be the fundamental discussion of interleague, which was how many home games can we get against the Yomiuri Giants?
Uh-huh.
Back when the Giants games were worth, they could be worth $500,000 a game in television revenues.
Mm-hmm.
This was the entire focus. How many games do we get against the Giants? Now the television market is shrinking.
Uh-huh.
And changing.
It has really gone away. It completely lost me. And he said, this whole thing is all about whether we're going to get an extra game against the Giants or not. And I thought, wow, how nostalgic, but probably true. He said, the rest of it's nonsense. It's all double talk.
Huh.
Right. So if it doesn't mean nearly the revenue that it used to, then why are they still sticking by that? Is it just because it's so ingrained in their minds that Giants games are the most important thing that they can't get past that?
I don't want to say it's ingrained in their minds because, you know, you can't ingrain something in your mind if there isn't a mind to ingrain it in.
Wow. And you talk about
I didn't speak like that, but I think yes, I think it's a habit. The more games against the Giants, the better.
Yeah.
Especially when times are bad. Oh, we're not making money, more games against the Giants, that'll fix our problems. That's the Central League. The Central League's weaker teams have been shouting that since the late 1980s.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks again. Thanks again for bringing up that story. Actually, I brought it up, but thank you.
Thank you. Thank you,
John, for your opinion, Michael. Because that you know, the Giants and the way that they drive baseball in Japan, I still think that's still a basic, that's a staple in Japan. There are a lot of Giants fans throughout the country, and we have to keep that in mind. And that thinking is probably a little bit old and a little bit antiquated, but I think it's still, in some ways, when you think about the Giants fan and who that person is and the demographic and what they do and how they spend their money, I think it's still an important team, and I think it's still going to drive how baseball is managed here in terms of financially and the business side of baseball, because a lot of it revolves around what the Giants do and how they think and what they do.
And the other dynamic of that is the Giants are both, they're the team that people love to hate as well.
Yes.
People will actually, and this to me, I don't understand, and maybe it's because of Japan's professional wrestling culture or something, people pay money to watch a team they don't like lose. Would you do that, John?
Yeah, I guess.
You hate teams, you hate some specific teams, or you dislike them intensely and use the word hate.
Yeah, well, I think my time is money, so I'll turn on the TV to watch then root against them. Yeah, so I think I'm spending money to watch them lose.
I don't have a lot of interest in that. I want my teams to win, the other teams I don't care.
Oh, it's Michael Bridgeway again. All right, well... That's it. I'm getting looks from the producer, and today's producer is Michael Westbay. So give me the look. All right. Thank you for joining us, Dave, in Baltimore. Thank you so much. And we deeply apologize to Claudio Rodriguez in Toronto, and we contributed to your technical difficulties, or we were the cause. But anyway, we would have loved to have had your input and your insight, but we will do this again. And hopefully at that time, you'll be able to join us.
Yeah, save your questions for next week, and we will definitely get to them. So looking forward to that.
All right, and send any questions you have by email to yakujohn@gmail.com, or hit us up on the Facebook page and let us know what's going on. Give us some ideas for the show. Give us some questions.
All right. Well, thanks again, Dave, and thanks again, Michael, and thanks again, John. What a pleasure this has been.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks. Thank you very much. And Michael Westbay, thank you so much, buddy.
It was a pleasure, and I look forward to doing this again with a lot less difficulty.
All right.
Don't we all?
Yeah. All right, let's hope we can get it together. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you very much, and enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.